Churchill then journeyed to Jerusalem, where he was presented with an error petition against Zionism. Churchill replied, saying, quote, "It is manifestly right that the Jews should have a national home, where some of them may be reunited. And where else could that be but in this land of Palestine, with which for more than 3,000 years they have been intimately and profoundly associated." Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 175, Churchill in Jerusalem. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. "And there arose not a prophet in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." These words from Deuteronomy were cited by Churchill in a 1931 essay titled, "Moses, Leader of a People," and Churchill continued, quote, "These closing words of the book of Deuteronomy are an apt expression of the esteem in which the great leader and liberator of the Hebrew people was held by the generations that succeeded him. He was the greatest of the prophets who spoke in person to the God of Israel. He was the national hero who led the chosen people out of the land of bondage through the perils of the wilderness and brought them to the very threshold of the promised land. He was the supreme lawgiver who received from God that remarkable code upon which the religious, moral, and social life of the nation was so securely founded. Tradition lastly ascribed to him the authorship of the whole Pentateuch, and the mystery that surrounded his death added to his prestige." End quote. The historian Andrew Roberts has confirmed for me that Moses, Leader of a People, is the only essay that Churchill wrote on a biblical subject. Therein, Churchill further describes the coming to Egypt of Joseph, Jacob, and the 12 tribes, of the enslavement of Israel, of the birth and salvation of Moses, of his adoption by the daughter of Pharaoh, and of Moses ultimately siding with his Hebrew family, killing an Egyptian taskmaster. Then, in the essay, Churchill gives us a reflection both in geography and vision. He writes, quote, "Moses fled into the Sinai Peninsula. These are the most awful deserts where human life in any form can be supported. There are others, like the vast expanses of the Sahara or the polar ice, where human beings cannot exist at all. Still, always a very few people have been able to keep body and soul together amid the rigors of the Sinai Peninsula. There are nowadays a few hundred Bedouin inhabitants, but when an aeroplane makes a forced landing in the Sinai Peninsula, the pilot nearly always perishes of thirst and starvation. In these dour recesses, the fugitive Moses found a local chief and priest named Jethro. With him he took up his abode. He rendered him good service, married his daughter Zipporah, and dwelt in extreme privation for many years. Every prophet has to come from civilization, but every prophet has to go into the wilderness. He must have a strong impression of a complex society and all that it has to give, and then he must serve periods of isolation and meditation. This is the process by which psychic dynamite is made." End quote. So Churchill wrote. And Churchill, as the historian Gertrude Himmelfarb notes, wrote this essay at one of the lowest moments in his career, when he was utterly out of power. And it was at this point, she reflects, that he sought to examine the journey of a man who ultimately achieves greatness as a redeemer of his people. Churchill wrote this essay as a man who had believed, as Andrew Roberts notes, from when he was 16 years old, that he was destined to save his people. And yet, he had suddenly seemed to recede from the political scene, as he would for much of the 1930s. It is therefore, as Gertrude Himmelfarb notes, not difficult to understand the fascination that Churchill would have with the Moses story, especially, as Himmelfarb further reflects, that he ultimately would go on to serve as a leader who helped save his people. For now, we focus on one passage in the essay, where describing the Sinai Desert into which Moses fled, Churchill did something interesting and unusual, what few others in Britain could do. He was writing about the Middle East from the perspective of someone who had been there, who had attained an intimate, intricate understanding of the layout of the land. This is because 10 years before 1931, 10 years before Churchill wrote this essay on Moses, he served as the colonial secretary and presided over the Cairo Conference in March of 1921. And immediately following that, Churchill himself came to Jerusalem. It was in 1920 that Churchill had published an essay in which he reflected on his support for Zionism, writing that, quote, "The statesmanship and historic sense of Mr. Balfour were prompt to seize this opportunity. Declarations have been made which have irrevocably decided the policy of Great Britain. The fiery energies of Dr. Weizmann, the leader for practical purposes of the Zionist project, backed by many of the most prominent British Jews and supported by the full authority of Lord Allenby, are all directed to achieving the success of this inspiring movement." end quote. And Churchill added that, quote, if, as may well happen, there should be created in our own lifetime by the banks of the Jordan a Jewish state under the protection of the British crown, which might comprise 3 or 4 millions of Jews, an event would have occurred in the history of the world, which would, from every point of view, be beneficial and would be especially in harmony with the truest interests of the British Empire, end quote. Then, in 1921, it was after the Cairo Conference, pondering and planning the future of the Middle East, that Churchill took the same journey as Moses in Israel, leaving Egypt and traveling across the Sinai Desert, though, unlike Moses, Churchill actually made it to the Promised Land. And there, Churchill made manifest his deep interest and faith in the Jewish people and their future, which lends a whole new gloss to his essay on Moses that was written 10 years later. Here again, I draw on Andrew Roberts' magisterial biography of Churchill in telling this part of the story. The train crossed Sinai and stopped first in Gaza, where Churchill and Sir Herbert Samuel were greeted by an Arab crowd. Churchill and Samuel interpreted what was being shouted as a claim for themselves, but they did not speak Arabic. Churchill's aide-de-camp Maxwell Coote later reported that the cries were actually violent exclamations against the Jews. Churchill then journeyed to Jerusalem, where he was presented with an Arab petition against Zionism. Churchill replied, saying, quote, it is manifestly right that the Jews should have a national home where some of them may be reunited. And where else could that be but in this land of Palestine, with which for more than 3,000 years they have been intimately and profoundly associated, end quote. Meeting a group of Jews next, he said to them, quote, the cause of Zionism is one which carries with it much that is good for the whole world, end quote. So Churchill said in Jerusalem, we can therefore reflect on the fact that this trip was seemingly remembered by Churchill 10 years later in 1931, describing Moses' journey into the Sinai, in an essay written at a time when Churchill was no longer colonial secretary, when he was out of power entirely. Andrew Roberts reports that it was this year that Nancy Astor met with Stalin, who inquired as to Churchill, and Astor replied, he's finished. The fact that Churchill wrote in 1931 of the psychic dynamite found by Moses in the Sinai wilderness is, as Gertrude Himmelfarb notes, significant. Churchill, Gertrude Himmelfarb writes, quote, might well have thought that by the process of psychic dynamite, he himself might be led out of the wilderness, bringing his people with him, and so it was, end quote. Andrew Roberts further notes that Churchill's philo-Semitism, quote, helped Churchill in the 1930s, giving him the ability, denied to many anti-Semites across the political spectrum, to spot very clearly and early what kind of a man Adolf Hitler was, as one of the rare philo-Semites of his class and background, and sitting for a heavily Jewish constituency over a quarter of a century before Hitler became Chancellor of Germany, his antennae were more highly attuned than those of his parliamentary colleagues, end quote. So Andrew Roberts reflects, and it is therefore striking to consider, one of the later passages in Churchill's Moses essay, a remarkable passage, especially when we consider Churchill's expressed support for Zionism in Jerusalem in 1921. In the 1931 essay, Churchill wrote, quote, at any rate, there is no doubt about one miracle. This wandering tribe, in many respects indistinguishable from numberless nomadic communities, grasped and proclaimed an idea of which all the genius of Greece and all the power of Rome were incapable. There was to be only one God, a universal God, a God of nations, a just God, a God who would punish in another world a wicked man dying rich and prosperous, a God from whose service the good of the humble and of the weak and poor was inseparable, end quote. We will see Churchill again in this series, but Churchill's visit to Jerusalem in 1921 is an interesting moment in his life, and as we prepare to mark Passover, it is striking to bear this visit in mind and read Churchill's Moses essay anew. This is Meir Soloveitchik, wishing you all a very joyous Pesach, signing off.